You know, we all talk about spirit, how we want to walk in the spirit, how we want to have fellowship in the spirit, and it's important that we do walk in the spirit and have fellowship in the spirit. I want to talk about the third person of the Trinity, who is the Holy Spirit. There are things about the Holy Spirit that we need to understand more. In Isaiah 59, in verse 20, the Redeemer will come to Zion, and those who turn from transgression in Jacob, says the Lord. As for me, says the Lord, this is my covenant with them, my spirit who is upon you, and my words which I have put in your mouth shall not depart from your mouth, nor from the mouth of your descendants, nor from the mouth of your descendants' descendants, says the Lord, from this time and forevermore. Now listen, he's talking about, okay, as we remove from transgression and the Spirit of the Lord comes upon us, he said, this is a covenant. This is a covenant that the Spirit of the Lord will be upon us. And we know that Isaiah was not only prophesying this about the church, the spiritual church, because Israel is the natural church and the body of Christ is the spiritual church. But he was also prophesying that it would come back to Israel also. And one of the things that he was saying is that the Spirit of the Lord will be upon him. And this is a promise of my covenant. And my words, my words will speak through your mouth. In verse 6, in chapter 60, in verse 1, it says, arise, shine, for your light has come. And the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will rise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. Understand something, and it's the Spirit of the Lord that brings the glory of God. Amen. So not only is the Holy Spirit that is upon us, but the glory of God is upon us.
Amen.
And there's a time when you'll recognize that the Spirit of the Lord is stronger upon you than other times.
Amen.
It's because it's for his purpose and his reason to use you in a certain area that you don't even know about yet. Does everybody get it?
Amen.
So we must understand that he is not only God, he's not only the Holy Spirit, but he is the third person of the Trinity of what we express in common language. Does everybody get it? In verse 3 it says, the Gentiles shall come to your light, the king and kings to the brightness of your rising. So others are going to see. In other words, we hear testimonies about, you know, our light shining. It's because it's the Spirit shining. Amen? Now, if you were to put a light in a bottle, and the bottle became dusty and old or dirty, the light does not shine true. That's why it's important to cleanse ourselves so that the light does shine through. Does everybody get it? And you know what? We're a bunch of dust collectors. Even a light bulb. You notice that a light bulb doesn't shine as bright when it's dusty. Did you ever paint a light bulb? Yeah, I used to do that when I was a kid. Painted them red, blue, you name it. You know? Then after a while, the paint would burn because I used the wrong paint, you know. And it'd smell up the whole house, and I'd get chewed out. So anyway, but the light did not shine. The more things that are on this light bulb, the dimmer it would get. And then you could find that even in certain spots, if there was blemishes on this covering or on the light bulb, it didn't shine in other areas. And it made it a little bit difficult to see. Amen?
Amen?
So the Spirit of the Lord is not only just the Spirit of the Lord. He is a person and an individual. He is God himself as a representation. He's the one that brings Jesus alive and the Father alive in me and you. He's also the one that brings you alive. Does everybody get it? And that's why without the Spirit and the fellowship in the Spirit, we're dead works. We can't even be the witness. It makes it difficult. Amen? In Joel chapter 2, in verse 28, is everybody there? Let's read this together, okay? And it shall come to pass afterward that I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh. Now understand this. God is pouring his spirit out on all flesh. Even now. Not everyone is receiving this. Does everybody get it? The word says, no man comes to the Father unless he is drawn. Well, the Spirit of the Lord is drawing all mankind unto him right now. And I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. And also on my men servants and on my maid servants I will pour out my spirit in those days. Now we know that the increasing of the anointing and the presence of being poured out is increasing more and more and more. Amen? So God has not stopped pouring out his spirit on all flesh. He's continuing to pour out his spirit on all flesh. Not that all flesh is accepting and receiving his spirit. Amen? Amen? There are people who are still wanting to do their will and their way, and they get caught up in circumstances, and it's circumstances that usually change the will of someone. Or they acknowledge God in some way. Amen? So we see that the Spirit of the Lord is being poured out. Now, it says here that the Spirit of the Lord is also going to cause people to prophesy. It's also going to cause them to have dreams and visions. And it's because of the revealing of the other side for me and you. It's also bringing the spiritual side into the natural side for me and you. When you are filled and baptized with the Holy Spirit, you are now a channel of truth. You are a gateway of the anointing. God will stretch his hand through you and speak through you. So there's much more than what we've known just about, oh, Holy Spirit, come. In fact, the Bible tells us that anyone who blasphemes the Holy Spirit, it's unforgivable. So you can say anything you want against the Father and Jesus, but when you start coming against the Holy Spirit, it says it's unforgivable. There is no repentance for it. So obviously there's something, that's why he's called the Holy Spirit, because he is the Spirit of God Almighty. Now, of course, in that reflection of unforgivable sin, it's because the Holy Spirit is what brings salvation. Does everybody understand that? It's the Holy Spirit that God allows his Spirit to grant repentance. So it's not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. So the extension of God Almighty is his Spirit. And the reflection of the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit are those who reject Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. When they die, if they die, there is no forgiveness. It's over with. Does everybody get it? Because it's the Spirit that brings Jesus alive. Because every one of us in this room has blasphemed the Holy Spirit at one time or another. But we were forgiven, weren't we? Amen. So there's a true meaning to that, and it's because he's the expression, impression, impartation of God Almighty. He is the third person of the Trinity because he represents the Father and the Son. Does everybody get it? Hallelujah. Go to Ezekiel 36. Ezekiel 36. You know, it tells us that we can grieve the Holy Spirit. The Word tells us that we can quench the Holy Spirit. The Word tells us that we can reject the Holy Spirit. So obviously he is a person, isn't he? In Ezekiel 36, hallelujah, and verse 26, read it with me, please. And I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. Wow. So he says, I'm gonna give you a new spirit. I'm gonna give you a new heart. And I'm gonna give you my spirit who's gonna cause you to walk in my statutes. And that's where fellowship in the spirit brings uprightness according to the will of God. Then you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God. In other words, first thing that has to happen is we must have a change within, and it's brought by the Holy Spirit. Then we can dwell in the land that he gives us, and those are the provisions of God. I will deliver you from all your uncleanliness, and call for the grain, and multiply it, and bring no famine upon you. And I will multiply the fruit of your trees and the increase of your fields, so that you need never again bear the reproach of the famine among nations. In other words, this is me and you now. This is me and you. Does everybody get it? This is about me and you in representation of what the Spirit does in us. Sometimes we don't see it or feel it right away. But begin to, others sometimes see it before we do. And of course, then you have others that are always looking at every wrong thing you do. and they forget about the things that you used to do that you're not doing anymore. Because God is still working on everyone, isn't he? None of us is perfect. Amen. Thank God.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. So he says he's going to cause us to walk in his statutes. Those are his ways. Amen. Go to John 14. In verse 16, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. Now remember something, even though sometimes we think he's not there, he is there. Now we quench the Holy Spirit, we grieve him, and it may be like he backs off on us, and he does. But it doesn't mean that he's left us. He's there. God will never forsake us nor leave us. We end up leaving him. Amen. In verse 17, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. So we see here something different, because the Old Testament, the Spirit used to come upon him. In the New Testament, he's in you. Does everybody get it? And it doesn't mean that he... And it feels like he comes upon you because he comes in another dimension. And it's for something that he wants you to do. But he always lives in you. Does everybody understand that? Hallelujah. In verse 18, he says, I will not leave your orphans. I will come to you. Well, how is he going to come to them? In spirit. Does everybody get it? He comes to them now in the Spirit. So Jesus said, this is wonderful because I'm not going to no longer walk with you, but I'm going to live in you. So your relationship is no longer an outward relationship. It's an inward relationship. Go to John 16 and verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And you got to understand something. The Word says that we're not to acknowledge Jesus anymore in the flesh. Nor have fellowship anyone in the flesh. But we're to acknowledge him in the Spirit. And that's the difference between letter and spirit. People are still acknowledging Jesus in the flesh through the letter. Does everybody understand that? Instead of having fellowship with him in the spirit. That's what brings bondage. Amen. Does everybody understand that? Now go to verse 8. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them. Now why? Because only the Holy Spirit can... Fellowship in the Spirit brings you understanding and revelation. So the Holy Spirit brings these things to us. Remember, He is the author of the Bible. Without understanding and fellowship in the Spirit and knowing the author of the Bible, the Word is still letter. And it represents Jesus in the flesh instead of Jesus in the Spirit. And there's a difference. In verse 13. However, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. For He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will tell you things to come. He will glorify who? Amen. He brings the Jesus and the Father glory. For He will take of what is mine and declare it to you. So everything that the price that Jesus paid on the cross when Jesus was in the flesh will be declared to me and you in the Spirit. Does everybody get it? Everything that Jesus did on the cross, all the things that He did on the cross in the natural realm, in the flesh, will be brought to you and me in the Spirit. Okay? In the Spirit, not in the flesh. That's what brings freedom. We must understand that it was the Holy Spirit who impregnated Mary. Jesus was a child of the Holy Spirit. Because God is Spirit, isn't He? So God came into the world and He dressed Himself with the Word of God, known as flesh. Does everybody get it? And then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Him, representing the fullness of the Trinity. In other words, when the Spirit of the Lord came upon Him, it represented the third person. Because while Jesus was walking, He said, if you see me, you see the Father. So the fullness of God was actually here on the earth and was brought by the Spirit. And God wants to fulfill His fullness in me and you by His Spirit. When I was baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit, I realized that the character of God the Father was manifesting in me. Because I used to walk up to people and say, my child. And I was trying to hold myself back. Because my heart was the heart of God. Amen. Of the Father going. And I realized that everybody was the children of God. Even those who are lost are all children of God. They just don't know it. They're lost. And that's what He's trying to rescue. Amen? So we see a lot of things happen here that the Holy Spirit is always going to bring glory not to man, but to God. And that's what, and this is what one of the characters of representation of somebody walking in the Spirit. Does everybody get it? In other words, we don't exalt our offices or our denomination. We exalt Christ. Hallelujah. So Jesus expressed that it was to our advantage. Well, if He expressed something to our advantage, it was expressing that it was something, and don't take this literally or out of context, better than what He could do. Does everybody get it? Better, because He said, in greater works you will do. In other words, you will be able to reach more people through the Spirit. We'll be able to do a lot more things in the Spirit. Not that Jesus wasn't in the Spirit, He was. But He paid the price so that you and I could have His Spirit. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So now we can be a bunch of little Jesuses walking all over the place.
Amen.
To God be the glory.
Amen.
Now, not only is he the third person of the Trinity, but in himself is a representation of three things. He brings with him three important things. The first thing he brings with him is the attributes and characters of God. Hallelujah. The attributes and characters of God. And that's through Isaiah 11, verse 2. Let's turn there for a second. Hallelujah. Isaiah 11, verse 2. Is everybody there? And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. Who's he talking about? Holy Spirit. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of reverence or fear of God, the fear of the Lord. Those are attributes and characters of the Holy Spirit that he brings with us. That's what changes everything around with me and you. Does everybody get it? See, because you and I need to have the understanding and wisdom and the knowledge, true knowledge. Because there's a lot of people that have knowledge out there, but it's not truth. There's a lot of people who read the Word of God but don't understand it. So it's not truth. Does everybody get it? So they're still looking at a Jesus in the flesh instead of the Jesus in the Spirit.
Amen.
And there's a difference. Because the Jesus in the flesh wasn't able to be a life-giving Spirit yet until he died. Does everybody get it?
Amen.
So Jesus in the flesh was revealing and expressing what was to come in the Spirit. He was the expression, the demonstration of what the Spirit does in an individual. Because he was God. The Holy Spirit also brings sonship because Jesus was known as the Son of God. No. Does everybody understand this? So the attributes and characters of God himself are brought to me and you by the Holy Spirit. Okay? Where you and I now can understand the things of God. Now we can walk in the things of God. You know what? It's like you can't communion with God without the Spirit because you can't understand his ways. It's like you speaking to a baby. And those without the Spirit are still babies. I don't care how old they are. The Word says, he who has the Spirit hears the things of God. Does everybody understand that? Because at one time, you and I did not understand. We didn't hear the things of God. We would try and read our Bible. But it was still Jesus in the flesh, not Jesus in the Spirit. He becomes Jesus in the Spirit when you get the Holy Spirit. Does everybody understand? Hallelujah. So we see here these are attributes and characters that Jesus begins to manifest himself through me and you. You know, they noticed that Jesus was with wisdom and knowledge and boldness and authority. And I mean, there was a whole different individual. And in fact, they tried to say, wait a minute, aren't you the carpenter's son? And so forth. They couldn't figure it out. There was a change in him. But the change came when he got baptized in the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Does everybody get it? Hallelujah. Another part of a representation of the Spirit of the third person is the gifts. He manifests gifts to us, doesn't he? Gifts, the gifts of the Spirit. This is number two, gifts of the Spirit. That's in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. So the Spirit of the Lord wants to manifest Himself through each and every one. For one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. To another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. To another the faith by the same Spirit. To another gifts of healings by the same Spirit. To another the working of miracles. To another prophecy. To another discerning of spirits. To another different kinds of tongues. And to another interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. So understand that you can walk by somebody, and if somebody's laying there bleeding to death, don't worry about whether you're moving the gifts of healing or not. Just lay your hands on them and get out of the way. Amen. So because if the Spirit of the Lord is in you, you are yielding to the Spirit of God. The gifts of the Spirit are available to each and every one, no matter what. Now, there are different ministries. Now, there are ministries where an individual is called to minister in healing, and that's it. But it doesn't mean he can't prophesy and do anything else. Does everybody understand? You know, we know that Brother Benny Hinn's been called, his ministry is in healing ministry, miracle signs and wonders. People go there. That's a part of the body where people go, because God has ordained him for that specifically. Amen. Well, He's not ordained all of us specifically for that. Amen. And it's time that we stop trying to be other people and start being ourselves by the Spirit. Amen. Does everybody get it? Amen. You know, because what it does is bring spiritual competition. Yeah. And then the devil beats you up when you can't fulfill somebody else's ministry, and it ain't your ministry to fulfill.
Amen.
You be yourself.
Amen.
Does everybody get it?
Amen.
God's dealing with you as an individual. You ain't called to be a Benny Hinn. You're not called to be a whatever. Does everybody all understand that? You be who you are right now. Let God deal with you right now and who you are. He knows what your future is.
Amen.
Amen. But it doesn't mean that you don't have a gift of healing. It doesn't mean that you don't have the gift of prophecy. It doesn't mean that you're not supposed to stop what you're doing and letting the manifestation of the Spirit manifest through you. But you haven't been called to a ministry of healing. You haven't been called to a ministry of deliverance. You haven't been... Do you understand that?
Amen.
We must allow the God Almighty to fulfill our ministries. In the meantime, we're called to be priests and sons and daughters.
Amen.
Amen. Witnesses and ministers.
Amen.
Whatever it may be that God has got us for. You know what? There's just so much bondage because people are trying to be somebody else.
Amen.
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 You know, and Jesus said, greater things that you would do. It doesn't always mean miracle signs and wonders. It means greater things that you'll do. Well, Jesus didn't, he didn't have enough time. He was only here 3.5 years in his ministry. He didn't have enough time to build houses to put people in and feed and clothe and shelter them. Greater things will we do.
Hallelujah.
He didn't have time. Do you understand that? He didn't go around building churches. His main purpose was to fulfill leaders of churches. So that they can build them, greater things would they do.
Amen.
They'd be able to reach more.
Amen.
There's so much more. This is the Holy Spirit's ministry now. And we must stop spiritual competition.
Amen.
And we must not allow the devil to come and beat us up because we're not fulfilling somebody else's dream. Hello?
Hello?
Or vision. You allow God to fulfill His vision for you. Amen. You know, people are going to be sent out from here. People will be sent to go do whatever it is. They'll be ordained to go be sent out to be leaders in the body of Christ to fulfill an office and a purpose. Whether it be preacher, teacher, evangelist, I don't care. Helper. And even if you're sent out to be a pastor, doesn't mean you're not going to do toilets first. Hello? I It doesn't mean that God isn't going to send you to a place and you can be going, well, Lord, I've been ordained to do this. I've been ordained to... Shut up and do what he's told you to do. But Lord, this isn't my calling. Well, obviously, you don't know your calling then. It's not what you want, it's what he wants. Hello? Some of us are going to be sent to start houses and so forth. But you know what? Some of us are going to be sent to be carpenters and even still be a leader in the body of Christ. Whenever it may be, some of us will be opening up businesses that will be supplying funds to the body of Christ. Whatever it is. But let God build the house and not you. When we start building the house and we get in spiritual competition and we want to be somebody that gets recognition instead of being who we are and getting recognition by God. Everybody get it? Quit trying to be somebody you're not. Let's first be sons and daughters of God Almighty. That's what we need to be, and only Holy Spirit can bring that through us. Amen? Amen. You know, Paul said, imitate me because I imitate God.
Amen.
Amen? What was he trying to do? He wasn't saying, you know, walk exactly the way I walk. He said, imitate me that I walk upright and have fellowship with the Lord.
Amen.
And I don't let things hinder me and push me out of the way.
Amen.
You know, Paul didn't have the sweetest attitude either all the time. Thank God the Lord pushes the flesh aside sometimes.
Amen.
And he sees the heart. David wasn't a perfect king. Amen. He did a lot of strange things. But God forgave him. But God still fulfilled his kingship. Now kingship is a warrior, right? Amen. So we're all going to be called warriors. That's no doubt about it. Every one of us is a soldier in the body of Christ.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
And that will never stop. But you must allow the Lord to build your house through his Spirit and not through the imitation and impartation and interpretation of man, but by the Spirit. Amen? By the Spirit. Because then it becomes tradition and becomes bondage of religion instead of relationship in the Spirit. Does everybody get it?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Where were we? Okay. Let's go on. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now listen. So we just talked about attributes and the character of God. Talked about gifts of the Spirit. Remember, the Holy Spirit brings glory to Jesus and to the Father. Amen. He doesn't bring glory to us. They're not our gifts anyway. Hallelujah. But he does desire us to walk in the Spirit so that we can have fellowship with him. And the other thing I want to talk about is the empowerments of the Spirit. Number three, the empowerments of the Spirit. Now, we know he empowers us for gifts and so forth. But there are other attributes of his empowerments that we need to just... So what we're trying to accomplish tonight is expanding of the mind to accept more of the things of the Spirit of God. Okay? We want to come out of the box. And we want to come out of tradition. And we want to come out of bondage. Okay? Hallelujah. Acts 1:8. Praise be to God. Acts 1:8. You know, people get really upset and frustrated because they can't live up to their expectations. Hello? Only through the Spirit can you live up to God's expectations. In Acts 1:8, what does it say? But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the earth. So understand that the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, the purpose of the baptism of the Holy Spirit is to empower us to be witnesses. Now, we know that we talked about his characters, which represents witness. We talked about the gifts that represent witness. Amen. And in his empowerment, we also know that there are fruits, which represent that Christ is living in us. Amen. So we see that we are to be empowered to be witnesses, and there are empowerments. But the main purpose is that you and I are a witness of Christ. And no matter what department or what office or what you're doing right now, I don't care if you're a mother, if you're a father, whatever it is. Whatever it is, you've been empowered by the Spirit of the Lord to be a witness of Christ in that area. In that area. Because when we didn't have fellowship in the Spirit, we were not the father, the mother, or the child that we should have been. None of us were. We've gone through trying to play religion. The traditions didn't help. And that's all it did was beat us. Remember, the Lord says he's not interested in our sacrifices. He's interested in our obedience.
Amen.
And you can't be obedient without the Spirit. Hallelujah. Go to Luke 24 and verse 46. And Jesus said to them, "Thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high." Woo-hoo! Woo-hoo! So we're empowered by the Holy Spirit. So many people are, they come to Christ and they try and go out and do it, whatever. People tell them, "Yes, you got Jesus, you're set, ready to go, do whatever." That's baloney. Because some of them, most of them aren't empowered with the Holy Ghost, and they don't even know the Holy Ghost yet.
Amen.
Amen? And what usually happens is they fall, and they can't walk in the way that God is asking them to walk. So we see here that there is power. Power. Hallelujah. So we see the Holy Spirit empowers us to be a witness, doesn't he? In Romans 8:16. In verse 16, 8:16. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are what? Children of God. So he's even witnessing to our spirit saying, "Come on, you're a child of God." And if children, then what? Heirs of God. So he's saying, "Come on, you're heirs, and you're joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together."
Amen.
So the Holy Spirit, he's the one that does these things. These are the empowerments of the Holy Spirit, bearing witness, reminding you that you're a child of God, reminding you that you're an heir of Christ.
Amen.
He's over there comforting me and you, isn't he? Encouraging us. Acts 10. Acts 10:38. Praise be to God. What does it say? How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Hey. You know what the Holy Spirit does? Is allow us to know that God is with us.
Amen.
Allows us to know that God is with us. I'll never forget when I got baptized in the Holy Ghost, and I was always wondering if God was with me still. And I'd start praying in the Spirit and go, "Oh, he's still there." You know? So if Jesus was anointed with the Holy Spirit to do good and with power, and he was out bringing truth to people that were getting healed, so he's doing that with me and you. Does everybody get it?
Amen.
If Jesus needed to be anointed with the Holy Spirit, so do you and I. First John chapter 2 and verse 20. Everybody there? But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. Now, that's what the Holy Spirit does. He brings you to know all things. Now, it doesn't mean that you know everything more than anybody else. And it doesn't mean that you know everything. Hello? You know all things pertaining to you at that moment and that need. Glory to God. Well, I got the Holy Spirit. Oh, great. I'm glad you know everything. Get behind me. Go to verse 27. But the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you. What he's saying is you don't need anyone to tell you what's right and wrong. So people go, man, I got the Holy Spirit. I know all things, man. There ain't nobody need to teach me now. Really? Then why are you still sinning? Why are you still doing the same things you shouldn't aren't supposed to be doing? Why are you still bound? Well, because you don't know the Holy Spirit. That's why. And you need not that anyone teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things, and is true and is not a lie, and just as it is taught you, you will abide in him. So the teaching is to keep you abiding in him, hello? Holy Ghost. He says he'll guide us to all truth, won't he? In 1 Peter chapter 1. Verse 12. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 12. Everybody there? Let's read it. And to them it was revealed that, not to themselves, but to us, they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things which angels desire to look into. Now understand this. The Holy Spirit is giving messages of truth to me and you to declare to others. It's the message. So the Holy Spirit empowers me and you to preach the gospel, doesn't he? Amen. Hallelujah. That's how we become fishers of men, don't we? Go to 1 Corinthians 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Hallelujah. Verse 12. Now we have not received the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Now the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. Now understand this. Holy Spirit causes me and you to judge. Jesus never said not to judge. He said before you judge, make sure you're clean. Amen. The Holy Spirit causes me and you to judge. And how does he do that? By judging people's fruits. And the purpose of judging other fruits is to determine whether you hang with them or don't hang with them. And so that you're up on things. Amen? So you're not swayed by the trickery trickery of the devil. Because obviously if somebody's fruit isn't right, the devil's using them. I don't care how much they can memorize the Bible or how spiritual they seem to be. Hallelujah. Go to Numbers 11. And verse 24. So Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord, and he gathered the 70 men of the elders of the people and placed them around the tabernacle. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and spoke to him and took of the spirit that was upon him and placed the same upon the 70 elders. And it happened when the spirit rested upon them that they prophesied, although they never did so again. Now he was preparing judges. Does everybody get it? He was preparing judges because Moses couldn't handle it any longer. He said, listen, man, I need some help here. I got a gazillion people out here that are always constantly complaining and need things. I can't do it myself. Lord, help me. So the Lord sent them laborers, and he took the same spirit that was on Moses and put it on them. And when the spirit touched them immediately, they prophesied. It didn't mean that the spirit didn't still stay on them. But when there's a first point of contact, there's a manifestation. Does everybody get it? Now, it doesn't mean that it has to manifest every time, that the spirit's not there. He's there. Listen, when I got first baptized in the Holy Spirit, man, I had dreams and visions like crazy and was prophesying for 2-3 weeks. Well, those dreams and visions cease. I mean, not completely. Every once in a while I'll have it, but not like it was. I mean, I was constantly, because the Spirit was revealing himself in such a great way. Do you ever notice that some people say, well, man, I only speak in tongues when the Spirit of the Lord comes upon me in a church. Well, they have the gift of tongues already, but they just don't know it. So they're waiting for the unction, but they're waiting for another unction outwardly instead of inwardly. Amen? Because you and I are now the stewards of the gifts. When you get baptized in the Holy Ghost, everybody has a tongue. They just don't know it. And some of the first evidences of somebody getting slammed in the Spirit is speaking in tongues too. But then sometimes it can be tongues afterwards. Amen? So I'm never going to say that it can't, you know, it's 100%. Only God knows. Amen?
Amen.
So understand that the Spirit comes upon us to go out as an extension of the hand of God. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Well, let's see here. In Acts 10. Acts 10. Verse 19. Everybody there? Let's read it together. While Peter thought about the vision, the Spirit said to him, behold, three men are seeking you. In verse 20, arise, therefore, go down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Now understand something. One of the things the Holy Spirit does is control your movement, if you're willing. But he doesn't control your movement by tripping you up or whatever.
Amen.
He controls your movement by speaking to you. Everybody get it? By speaking to you. Hallelujah. What does he say? Go this way or go that way. Acts 13. I'm not saying he can't pick you up and bring you to another place. Hallelujah. But he doesn't run you like a horse. Okay? Glory to God. Acts 13. Is everybody there? In verse 2. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, Now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for work which I have called them. Now understand this. The Holy Spirit is one who builds leaders. He separates those at a time and begins to build leaders. Now Barnabas, who did he separate? Barnabas and Saul. Amen. For the work to which I have called them. Saul really didn't begin to fulfill his ministry for almost over 14 years later. Because one of the first things he needed to do was know who his God really was. Amen. In Acts 16, I'm still waiting for my ministry. I still don't know what I'm going to be when I grow up. Hallelujah. You know, we're always wondering, what am I going to be when I grow up? I don't know. I still don't know. Whatever the Lord has for me today is what all that I need.
Amen.
What I'm supposed to do today, hallelujah. Praise God. In Acts 16, in verse 6. Now when they had gone through Phrygia, a region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. Now understand this. This is powerful. Yes. The Holy Spirit will sometimes stop you from witnessing to someone. Well, I need to witness. I need the Holy Spirit telling you, shut up. This person isn't willing to receive. You start witnessing to him, you're going to push him away. He will stop you from going to a place to witness when you think this is God's timing. Everybody get it? He stopped them from going and preaching the gospel that definitely needed it. But he was preparing something. Maybe he was preparing them before they even did it. You don't know. But he will definitely prepare us. Sometimes we just can't keep our mouth shut. We think we need to just say whatever to whatever and whoever, and we ended up pushing people away, and they think you're a granola instead of a child of God. Amen? And then what they start doing is saying, well, man, where are you so right, self-righteous, you know? And what are you doing telling me? They take it in the wrong perspective that you're judging them. Does everybody get it? Because it's not by the Spirit. Hallelujah. He directs us in the operations of rescue. That's exactly what he does in Acts 16:6. He directs us in the operations of rescue. Nothing worse than going to a drowning victim and say, here, grab hold of this lifesaver. And they say, I don't want it. Hallelujah. See you later. Praise God. In Romans 8, glory to God. And I hope we have enough tape to go through this. Woohoo! Romans 8, there's a lot of empowerment, man. In verse 14, I guess we better start at 13. For if you live according to the flesh, you will what? Die. Hallelujah. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. Does everybody get it? He brings us into sonship or daughtership, whatever. And we have, it brings us into relationship in the spirit where we cry out, Father. Abba meaning daddy. You know, there's a difference in calling a father sir and dad. You know, I used to know guys that were raised up very disciplined. Fathers were militant. And they used to call their father sir. It used to hurt my heart, man. Where's relationship? They looked at them as a commander instead of a daddy. Now, there's a time when you look at God as a commander, but then there's a time you look at him as daddy. Amen? First of all, he desires sonship. He can't be your commander until you're his son. Okay. Hallelujah. In Daniel 4:8, I'm just going to give you a few of these. The Holy Spirit empowers us to interpret dreams. Let's go to Galatians 5. In verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against there is no law. So he empowers us to walk in the fruits and release us from the law of sin and death. And it says in verse 24, and those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. He empowers us to walk in the Spirit also. In 2 Corinthians 3:6, I guess we better start at verse 5. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God, who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant. Not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. So he empowers us to become ministers of a life-giving Spirit. And in verse 17, it says, now where the Lord is, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty or freedom. He also empowers us from the freedom, with freedom from bondage of the entanglements of this world. He separates us and sanctifies us unto God. Go to Ephesians 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Hallelujah.
Amen.
In verse 11. And he himself gave some to be apostles and some prophets, some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. That is the fivefold ministry of the body of Christ. For the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, that we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of God, Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be carried away, or children tossed to and fro, or carried away with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. The Spirit fulfills your office. Philippians 3:3, it says, worship God in spirit. The Spirit quickens us to worship God. Amen. And Matthew 26:41. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. The pages are turning tonight. In verse 40, 26:40. Then he, Jesus, came to the disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, what? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is what? Willing, but the flesh is weak. So the spirit is willing. He empowers me and you to pray. And if you go to Romans 8:26, it talks about our weaknesses in prayer. Turn there for a second. Romans 8:26. In verse 26, it says, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. So the Spirit is interceding with me and you. He's making intercessions and groanings in me and you. And then what we're doing is we're praying it. Does everybody get it? Now, we don't understand what we're praying, because you're praying in tongues. But you're praying the perfect will of God. Amen. So he empowers us to pray. Because we sit there all day going, man, I just don't know what to pray. Well, the Holy Ghost knows what to pray. Hallelujah. In Matthew 4. Ooh. Hallelujah. Is everybody there? In verse 1, let's read it. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. The Holy Spirit empowers you and leads you into battle. He leads you into battle. Everybody get it? I had somebody tell me that they went out and did some stuff because their church was going out and they were feeding, and the person got to share a couple things, but they found that their battle, I mean, it was a real rough for them. They couldn't pray with people. There was just so much stuff. And I said, because God didn't send you out. You went out because the church went out, but the Lord didn't send you out. It wasn't time for you to go out. Amen? Hallelujah. So the Holy Spirit leads us into battle. In Mark 16. Hallelujah. Famous scripture. In verse 16, he who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons and they will speak with new tongues. That's Holy Ghost. They will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. And they will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. These are signs of the Holy Spirit dwelling in you. Amen. He will empower you to speak a new language. He will empower you to cast out devils. He will empower you to be a sign and wonder. Laying your hands on the sick and they will recover. I don't care if they don't get healed that day, they will recover. Hallelujah. Woo-wee. Hallelujah. I like this one. 1 Corinthians 6. know that the Holy Spirit definitely convicts us of hidden sin, doesn't he? Hallelujah. In verse 19. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? Holy Spirit turns your body into the temple of God. For you were bought at a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. He empowers you to turn everything over to Him. Glory to God. In Ephesians 6, in verse 17. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. The Holy Spirit empowers us with the weapons of God. Weapons of war. First Corinthians chapter 2. In verse 10. Read it with me, please. But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things. Yes, the deep things of God. The Holy Spirit brings you to the deep things of God. He empowers you. You even have a desire to search the deep things of God. Amen? And I have a gazillion more. But let's close in Luke 4. Verse 18, and let's all read this together. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of the sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Hallelujah. So do not limit the Holy Spirit in your life. Does everybody get it? Don't limit the Holy Spirit. Get in the Spirit. The conscious effort and it's a choice. Every one of us has a choice. The Holy Spirit can come to you, knock on your door, and you can just go, uh-huh. People are still so bound by the letter that they're not willing to accept the Holy Spirit. And then they think they have the Holy Spirit. But that's not true. Everybody get it? We need to have the fellowship in the Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And when you get the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you need to allow Him to expand you. And not limit Him. Remember, He's not giving us a spirit of fear, but love, power, and sound mind. Why? To manifest the mind of Christ. Amen? Jesus wants to be manifest through me and you, through His Spirit, so that He can get all the glory. Father, we thank You for Your Word. And Lord, we just ask that through Your Spirit, you would reveal yourself to us in a greater and mightier way. Lord, speak to us in dreams and visions. Bring us encouragement and counsel, correction and direction. Grant us fellowship in the Spirit, not only with one another, but with you. And we ask this, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said,
Amen
and hallelujah.